This is an AMI podcast.
Oh, hello, welcome to another episode of Double Tap. It is Friday, the 24th of March, 2023. Coming up today, hands-on with the Hymns Sense Player.
You're listening to Double Tap, your daily accessible technology show. Now, here's your hosts, Stephen Scott and Sean Preece.
Hi, Sean Preece. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you, sir. I'm glad you do those intros because it reminds me what day it is. I'm sort of getting confused. It must be my age.
But we have got it wrong from time to time, so it's kind of funny sometimes when we get it wrong. And you know what's funny?
Yes.
People start to doubt themselves on what day it is.
Stephen said so it must be.
He said it was Tuesday. Why is it suddenly Thursday? Why did you do that to me, Stephen? Why?
You're a terrible human being.
I am. But today, officially, we are hands-on with this device. Well, we are not, obviously. We don't have hands-on with anything. But,
no.
You know, we have someone with us today, Jason Fair. Sorry, my coffee is catching my throat. There we go.
What was that? Okay, are you okay?
Either that coffee's catching my throat or my house is on fire. One of the two. Hopefully it's the coffee.
Yes.
But yes, so Jason Fair is joining
Weirdest
us today.
Weirdest cough in the world.
Okay. It's a polite cough. Yeah,
yes.
So
Jason
Fair is joining us to talk about his recent purchase. He's been buying things.
And it's something that a lot of people are really interested in. So yeah, this is going to be a cool one.
Yeah, so we're going to get into that today. Also, I thought we'd play in an email, which kind of leads into a very interesting discussion, I think, around artificial intelligence. Kyler has been in touch with us. He's a very creative and smart guy, is our Kyler. And he is one of the, I believe they call them the youth.
Oh, is he indeed?
We'll see. I could smell something.
Yeah.
Yes, youth is nearby.
So
well,
sorry, Kyler.
Here he is. This is his email, read as always by Laura.
Hi team, it's Kyla. I'm sending this email to let you know that there's been some really crazy crud going on in AI right now. And unless we all want to risk the potential chance that AI could outsmart humanity, you better listen up quick, because this is big. Ooh. First and foremost, we all know that 11 Labs' cloning feature is bat poop crazy. But now they've come out with a ChatGPT-style generative AI model that allows anyone to create entirely new artificial voices from scratch simply by entering in a set of parameters and clicking generate. What else is new? The crazy part is that even though these voices haven't been fine-tuned by a team of highly trained specialists, these voice personas sound as human as their pre-made voices, which just goes to show how far we've come. This also means that, in my opinion, whatever voice you might be using for voiceover is an absolute piece of AI-generated malarkey in comparison. Secondly, I wanted to mention that Be My Eyes just introduced a new feature called Virtual Volunteer, which is powered by OpenAI's GPT-4 large language model.
Yep.
This means that the AI visual assistant's chatbot will be able to analyze a picture of the inside of a blind person's refrigerator and not only give a detailed description of what is inside, but
Nothing.
Also a list of possible recipes that use the ingredients that were listed. Unlike other apps, such as Seeing AI, a user can interrogate the AI for further information about a given description and receive additional relevant information based on contextual clues. Is this the future? Lastly, for Android users who are fans of the Seraproc text-to-speech engine based in Scotland, you might notice that all of the TTS voices disguised as Google Play apps have disappeared. This is because Seraproc has combined all of these voices into a Seraplay app for Android, which lets you both demo and purchase any Seraware or standard voice from their catalogue, all from the same application. I will say, though, that the welcome splash screen interface is not that accessible on my Braille Sense 6, and you might have to do a little bit of extra navigation to get to the main menu.
Boom.
That's all from me, guys. I've attached a comedy skit to show you how I created these voices and how they work.
What?
Warning, there will be attitude.
Ooh.
Thanks, Kyla.
No,
I'm intrigued.
Okay, do we want to play this? This is his attachment that was on his email.
Let's not bother. Of course we want to play
let's
this.
Just forget it. Move on.
No. Hang on. Before we get there, I just want... Was it called Seraplay? Seraplay?
I've never heard of that. I thought he meant Serotech, but that's not Scottish.
No, that's
to my
right.
understanding.
That's, That's what I picked up on Sky, so I thought Stephen will know all about this. I actually
don't
know.
Oh, yeah, because I live in Scotland, so I know everyone called Jock. Is that how it works?
Yes, that's absolutely
and Jimmy,
how it works.
I know all Jimmys and Jocks.
Jimmy McDougal.
Jimmy McJock. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I'm just picking up on that. That sounds very much like the a cappella app on Android where you can, you know, demo the voices and then you purchase them individually. It's not a bad idea. It sounds cool to me. I'm going to check that out.
Did you know that a cappella is actually an Italian word meaning where's the band?
Yes. Okay, let's hear that comedy skit. We need some comedy.
Oh, yeah, that's true. We could do with some, actually. Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, this is what Kyler attached to his email.
Hi there. My name is Emily. I am a British-English AI voice character created through the 11 Labs voice design interface, with the help of Kyler, of course. It's funny. He doesn't know how to write a single line of code, but he still manages to test pre-release software for Apple and clone an army of Kyler bots from his voice. I'm not saying he's incompetent or anything, but he at least needs to get a better education.
Emily, are you sure you're talking about the right person? My records indicate that Kyler is a junior in high school. He has 34 credits out of 56 needed for graduation, and he's taking a digital sounds and music production class next year. Besides, before he started using 11 Labs, he was messing around with SSML tags on a website that used Amazon Polly as the text-to-speech provider. Maybe from now on I'll need to have Father fact-check you before you even start talking. That way you don't go blabbing about your creator and saying stuff that isn't true.
Go away, Christopher. I do not need to be fact-checked. Okay, maybe there have been a few times when I've slept in a bit too long and it messed with my neural engine, but still, some of the stuff you say is absolutely disturbing. If you don't mind, please, go bug someone else. Yeah, that was my brother. He's absolutely pathetic sometimes, yes, but he's also one of the biggest nerds I've ever met. If you want Kyler to demonstrate how me and my brother were created, just reply to his email. Sorry for all the chaos. Thanks for listening.
All the voices you hear were artificially generated using speech synthesis software developed by 11 Labs. The input was pure text and minimal corrections were made.
Oh, that's it. We're all out of a job. We're all out of a job. That is it.
I don't know. Today's youth are so talented. That was really
cool. There's so much time in their hands.
Now, if I understand this correctly, right, because I get cloning your own voice, right? That's deep faking it is really coming along hugely, right, thanks to AI. And, of course, the pre-made TTS voices, there's so many of them about. We just mentioned a cappella and all that. Mm. But if I'm understanding this correctly, so 11 Labs now have a TTS voice that is generated purely and new every time, just purely out of the parameters that you enter in. So that TTS, well, those two TTS voices there are just totally AI generated on the fly.
Yeah, I mean, I remember going to CES at the beginning of 2020 and we saw a company called Neon. And they were demonstrating something like this, but in physical form. So they had like actual AI people. And when I was talking to the guy and saying, "Oh, this is interesting. Who are these people?" Like, there was one that was a newsreader. One was a, I think one was like a teacher or something. One was a hotel
receptionist.
Yeah, exactly. And I said, "Are these all based on real people?" And they said, "No, this is all AI generated. These are all AI generated people, right? They're not real people. They're AI people."
Yeah.
And, you know, every bit of them was manufactured. I mean, it's obviously based on, you know, they didn't have eight arms and eight legs. I mean, they were obviously based on humans, right? So they had human-like qualities. But they weren't Thank you. But they were...
I want a spider-like receptionist. That one make me feel welcomed. Yeah, okay.
Well, she just crawled over here and she just started asking me questions about, you know, which room I'd like and do an upgrade. And I was just like, yeah, what is this? But no, it's... Thankfully, that's not going to happen. It's not something, a Beetlejuice. But I think this is really fascinating that we're kind of obviously seeing in the physical sense being capable, but now with voice and our own voices as well. And speaking of which, I did test out 11 Labs. And do you want to hear how this sounds? So this is me uploading my voice to 11 Labs. It's learning who I am. So I put in a sentence and asked it to play it back. using my own voice. And
oh, this is the Stephen Scott TTS.
This is it. Yeah, this is it. Oh, you ready? Right. You ready for this?
Yes, please.
Do you ever wonder how much time is spent making sure your smartphone is accessible? We do, and that's what we talk about on Double Tap Canada. Hi, this is Stephen Scott, and every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, we dive into the world of tech from our unique point of view. After all, using a smartphone or speaker when blind or partially sighted is more than just swipe and tap. Double Tap Canada, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern here on AMI Audio.
Now, obviously, you did that a while ago.
Well, that believe it or not, that script was generated by ChatGPT.
Oh.
So it got everything right bar the time of the show, but yeah, it got most
the
of it right.
The days and the times. Yeah. That sounded
well, it is
absolutely
on Thursday at 8. It's one of the repeats.
Yeah, well, true. That sounded absolutely nothing like you.
No, it didn't. I mean,
do you ever wonder how much time is spent making sure your smartphone is accessible?
That sounds just like a normal TTS. Are you sure that was a clone?
Do you not think there's elements of me in there? Can you not hear it?
No, not at all. Do it again. Just give me another
Do you ever
sample.
Wonder how much time is spent making sure your smartphone is accessible?
Stop. Right, now say that line.
Ever wonder how much time is spent making sure your smartphone is accessible?
Do you ever wonder how long... what was the line?
No, yeah. I
don't, this is.
Can you get it to fluff its line? That would be perfect.
You're not going to get that with AI. Do you ever wonder how much time is spent making sure your smartphone is accessible?
Okay, no. Yeah, okay.
See?
Yeah, see? Yeah, yeah.
The elements.
Intonation is there, if that's the right word, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
It's the accent, though. It's kind of given me an English accent, not a Scottish.
Yes.
And I think that's what it's doing because it's kind of working off English and US English at the moment. I don't think anything else is available dialect wise.
Of course. How much sample data did you give it?
I gave it 10 minutes.
10 minutes? Yeah.
And it only asked for 2.5 minutes. It says, give me 2.5 minutes, but you can upload as much as you like, but it really only needs 2.5 minutes to be able to start generating. And the difference between what I heard with what was 2.5 minutes and then 10 minutes was not much, really. It was not a huge difference. I think if the dialect was right, I think if they got that right and they got the localization, yes, the regions right, I think that would be very... Well,
that would make
it would be terrifying.
Difference.
I'd love to hear an I'd love to hear someone... And I think, didn't Michael Babcock use it? And we couldn't tell... Yeah, I think there was one a clip we played in from Michael, and it had him, he actually said in the piece, I'm going to drop in a line here, and you've got to work out which one it is, and we couldn't tell.
Ah, well, I've looked into 11 Labs before, and I know that there was someone demoing it, and the first time they did it, it didn't sound like him at all, but then there were different parameters that they could tweak. And just a few tweaks, you know, I'm talking like 4 or 5 clicks later, it sounded so much better. It made a huge difference. So, yeah, it's really interesting, this AI. We keep talking about it and ChatGPT and blah, blah, blah. But it's just having such an impact on everything, just every single aspect. And this is great for us. I would love to make my own voice TTS. I know that sounds vain.
It does
but
a
I would
bit,
love
yeah.
to do that.
You want to be the voice of your own phone?
I do. I just think it would be cool. I'd love to do that.
I think that would be cool. I would be quite... Well, I don't know. Would I want to hear your voice? I remember... I think I told you this story before. Years ago in Scotland, we had not a competition, but there was a tender that had gone up for a contract for voiceover work. And it was specifically for... being the voice of the railway network. So on every train, the voice you would hear would be this, you know, this particular voice, and it would read out all the station names. This train now is approaching X station, you know, make sure you take your bags with you, you know, if you see anything suspicious, all that stuff, right? Uh-huh. And I applied for the job. Applied for the job, and I honestly, it would have been a great job to get because it was good, well paid, but I am so glad I didn't get it because... Now I realise, because they've never changed that voice in like 10 years. And it is just everywhere you go. And I thought, I cannot imagine having to sit on a train listening to myself tell me where I'm going.
Yes, that's your wife's job. Yeah, exactly. That'd be great. Sorry, my wife's job.
Right. Yeah. Yes. You know, they often say what people put out there is projection of what they're thinking. I'm just saying. Dr. Fraser Crane sitting here.
That is so cool. I am really interested in this clone cloning of your own voice and other people's voices. I mean, it does lead us down to the discussion about deep fakes, you know, and recognizing deep fakes and misinformation and all that. It's kind of scary. When it comes to all of this AI, it's all a bit scary. But at the same time, when you look at the positives of it and what it could be and how beneficial it could be, it's so exciting. I really like that, Kyler. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Kyler. I will say, I think that this kind of fear around what this could become and what it could be used for, it's certainly justifiable. I mean, of course it is. If someone can get hold of your voice and, you know, someone like, you know, you or I, who are on air every day, we have recorded snippets
yes,
of our voices everywhere. That is terrifying that people could use that. But, you know, I think it's probably up there with identity fraud, if you think about it. You know, always people fear their identity being stolen and look how that destroys your life. Imagine if they can take your voice as well.
Well, one clip of you not saying something in your cloned voice,
I mean, could destroy you.
Exactly right. It can have devastating
and how do you prove? I mean, how would you prove that it wasn't you that said it? That's the thing. I mean, if someone played it down the phone or someone said, he said this. I mean, it's one thing with us on air. This is one thing about our job I feel is quite good, because if someone said, well, he said this on air, I have the clip of it, they could at least marry it up with, well, we didn't broadcast that because we've got the record. You know,
it's been edited.
But if you called up your boss and called him various names, God bless you, Mr. F. But if you, you know, called up your boss and said, wow, you know, you are this, you are that, and, you know, frankly, you can take this job and do what you would like with it, then that could be a problem, right? And how do you prove you didn't do that?
That wasn't me. I was hacked. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Deep ethical questions. But I don't think, I mean, like everything in life, it shouldn't halt progress. But, you know, safeguarding is going to be an interesting one here, because at the moment with 11 Labs, I think you just tick a box when you're uploading the audio, and that's quite frightening.
Yeah, I have the license to use this or something like that.
Tick the box. It's like, well, hang on, what?
Well,
shouldn't you be able to upload some kind of identification to prove it's you? But then I suppose we get into other murky waters around.
Exactly.
Is that a good idea? Oh, it's a minefield.
The answer is, again, in AI, there's work on AI to identify deep fakes as well. So, I mean, you know, that's a problem that maybe could be solved.
Well, that's
with
a good
AI
point,
well,
actually. Yeah, because, I mean, for example, my bank, I don't know if this is how common this is, but my bank has this thing now where if you call up, you have to say a certain line. It will ask you to say something, and then it will identify you based purely on that line.
Oh.
Now, I've tried this with various people. I've tried it with friends. I've tried it with even a neighbor who sounds, you know, can same accent to me. And it didn't let them through at all. And yet when I did it, it let me right in. And I thought, how is it doing that? It's called voice ID. And I thought, well, that's amazing. You know, you think that would be easy to get by. But that's one way of doing it, right? If you can voice ID yourself, your voice becomes your identification.
Yeah,
wow, Face ID. It's a future of Face ID.
That's just what I was thinking. Imagine that on your iPhone. You've got to say biscuits to unlock it. That'd be cool.
That would be fine. Oh, but a lot biscuits. Easier than trying to get the phone in position and doing that whole thing.
Calm down. Face ID is fine. Let's not go back
ID.
Here.
Can we get Touch ID back, please? Please put it in the
iPhone
SE 4.
As long as we don't have the home button, I don't care. It's fine.
I think the home button's gone.
Hooray!
By all accounts, if this rumoured iPhone SE 4, they're saying it's going to come out this year. I doubt that. It'll be 2024 before we see another one. But if we do, I think it'll probably be with a Touch ID in the device in the same way you get with the iPad mini.
In the side button.
On the side button, yeah.
I think
brilliant.
So.
But AI is kind of terrifying. I just think it's really interesting what people are able to do. And I think what's brilliant is showing what blind people can do with it at this early stage, you know.
Well, at least Kyler.
Kyler is certainly more intelligent than most people. And certainly
the youth.
Certainly more intelligent than me. He still has a spongy brain, but his mind is like a brick. And equally as useful.
I don't know what to say to that.
On that bombshell, stick around, because next joining me is Jason Fair. I got the chance to speak to him earlier this week, and he talked to me all about the Sense Player from Hims. He bought one, and he's going to talk about his experience hands-on. We're going to learn about all of its wonderful features. Sean, we'll be back with you tomorrow.
Cool. Bye-bye.
Follow Double Tap on social media at Double Tap on Air, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts, and email us feedback@doubletaponair.com. We'll be right back. This is Double Tap. Now, back to the show.
Now, everyone's talking about it. It is this HIMS Sense player, which is being released in different parts of the world at different points. And in Canada, it's not available yet, but Toronto-based Jason Fair has got around that by visiting the States to buy this, which is rather interesting. So Jason joins us now to tell us about his experience of the HIMS Sense player. Give us a bit of a walkthrough as well. Great to have you here on Double Tap, Jason.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
So a lot of people are excited about the Sense player, the HIMS Sense player. You decided to go and spend hard-earned cash on this. Tell me why you did that. Why did you buy it?
Because I like toys. it's really the only reason. No, I mean, I've been debating between the Sense player and the third generation Stream. And I've always liked HIMS products. I was a BookSense user for years back when it was, you know, the original BookSense. And I just, when I saw this come out, I really wanted to get my hands on one. Unfortunately, it wasn't available in Canada, still isn't, as far as I know. Well, not directly in Canada, but I was going to be in the U.S. for something else, so I ordered one and had it delivered to me while I was in the U.S., so that worked out well, so I didn't have to pay shipping to Canada.
What stands out for you that made you want to buy it? What was the draw?
Well, I mean, just that I was in the market for another book player, and I've always liked the HIMS products, but aside from that, just everything I was reading about it sounded really good. And then also when I read about the ability, and you can't do this yet, but eventually they're going to put the screen reader, the Android screen reader from the Braille Sense on here. So what that means is you're going to be able to load Android apps onto the Sense player. So for example, if you want to listen to, I don't know, Spotify, you'll be able to load the Spotify app and use it on the player, you know, as if it was an Android, you know, an Android phone, or something like Audible, for example. So that, and just, you know, I'm a geek. I love new technology, and the Smart Connect feature also was really interesting. This is the one where you can pair the unit to your phone and control your phone with it. So you can control either an Android or an iOS device with the Sense player, giving you, you know, buttons. And actually, you know, one of the key things for doing that on a phone is that you actually get a keypad. So you can, you know, dial a phone number without having to use the touchscreen, or more importantly, you know, call up your bank and dial in your account number.
Yes.
Without using the touchscreen. We all know how fun that can be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And can you type with it as well? It's a T9 keyboard, right? So can you type, say, text messages with it?
You can. You're not going to be fast, but yes, you can. I mean, you definitely can. I mean, at T9, like I said, I don't think you're going to break any speed records. But, you know, for us, you know, I started, my first accessible phone was one of the old Nokias, right?
So yeah.
I certainly know T9 and I've used it. So, but yes, you definitely can.
Yeah, the modern kids out there will not have a clue what any of that means, because they don't probably touch such a thing. But for us, I'm not going to say you're old, because you're not, I am imagining. But, you know, and I don't feel old either. I'm just putting that out there. But I probably am.
We're probably similar.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I think for me, this is something which takes me back a little bit, but also is something which, in a way, although it takes me back mentally to a happy time, it also brings us forward to a time when, you know, phones are actually becoming a little bit easier to use as a result of something like this.
Right.
That's the bit that interests me. Now, let's get into this with this Sense Connect, because this is fascinating to me. I mean, in some ways, it's quite simple, I guess, right? It's another way for you to navigate your device. How much of your device can you control? I mean, assuming you've got VoiceOver on or TalkBack on, I guess, if you're using Android, you'd be able to navigate the system, move around, activate items, that kind of thing. It's just essentially like having a keyboard.
It is. So you can, as you said, navigate, you know, you can use the left and right arrows on the player to move, you know, from one item to the other, as if you're doing a, you know, flick left or flick right. Pressing the OK key on the player is like a double tap to, you know, to activate an item. You can, if you hold the OK key, that's a double tap and hold.
Oh, okay.
There are keys to change the rotor. So if you want to, like on an iOS device, if you want to change the rotor, you can use the star and pound or hash keys to do that. And then once you do that, up and down arrow will actually change that rotor setting. So, and it's different. There's different modes. There's navigation mode. There's text entry mode, where you can, you know, switch it into T9 or numbers or whatever. And then there are, there's a web browsing mode, which I haven't used yet, but there is a web browsing mode as well.
Wow. Yeah. Right. So it's kind of, although it's giving you the functions of a keyboard, it's actually a lot more than what a keyboard can do. It's much more layered than that.
It is. And I mean, it's actually emulating a keyboard to the iPhone. So it's as if you plug a Bluetooth keyboard, you know, connect a Bluetooth keyboard to your phone. Because if you do that, then you have all sorts of voiceover commands, right, that you can do from the keyboard. So it's essentially emulating that.
But instead of keyboard shortcuts, it's physical buttons that have been programmed to do certain things.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
And it does pass the audio. You have the option to pass the audio from your phone to the player. So, for example, when you connect, if you've got it set that way, your voiceover audio will actually start coming out of the player instead of your phone.
See, that I did read about this, and I also read that you could use it like a phone as well. Is that right?
Certainly not yet. And that's something we should probably talk about at some point. There's things that are not working yet as I think they probably should. Dare I say the firmware might have been rushed out a little bit.
Okay.
There are some functions that aren't quite behaving as they should. I don't know if it's eventually going to act as a phone audio device. I can tell you right now it doesn't work. I tried it.
I mean, we know it's possible because I remember the Revo keyboard is the Revo 2, I think, is the one that can do that, which is very similar. It's very similar, actually, in a lot of ways, the Revo, but obviously this is the Revo keyboard with bells on, you know, because obviously it has all the other functionality, right? So
exactly.
you've got the ability with the Revo to use it almost like a phone as well, because there's a microphone in there, a little speaker at the top. So it's like you've got a tactile device. I thought you could do the same with this. That's interesting. Maybe that's something coming later. Or maybe not at all, but certainly the good news is you can get the audio out of your phone. So what's the audio quality like on this then? Because if you're transferring your phone, because your phone's got a decent speaker in it, how does it compare to, you know, if you connect it up to the Sense Player?
It's really good. I mean, it's using Bluetooth audio, which is, is never fantastic. But it's, the speakers on this thing are quite good. There are two speakers, one at each end. So you do get stereo sound, you know, for what that's worth. I mean, they're not, you know, it's not super high fidelity, you know, separated audio, but it is, there are two speakers and it's loud. It can go quite loud. I mean, I have not tried the new Victor Stream, because I know they've got new speakers in that, but I suspect this is probably better audio than the Stream 3.
Well, stereo, isn't it? That's the big difference, I think.
Yeah.
Of the two, I mean, I haven't looked at the specs actually for the speaker on the Victoria, but that's interesting. Okay, let's go back a little bit, because I have to say, I know a lot of, I'm very interested in the Sense Connect feature, and Sean, who is not here with us at the moment, but you know, Sean would be at this point asking me, why do you care about this? And I do care about it, because, you know, first off, I know what the Victor Reader can do, and the Sense Player to an extent can do the same thing, but what I'm getting from this, what you're saying, is that this thing is very multi-layered, because you've got that base of ability to, you know, listen to audiobooks, take notes, listen to podcasts, internet radio, all those things. But then you have this other layer, which is essentially the ability to connect to other devices. And then in the future, another layer, which will give you a screen reader on there, which you can then navigate Android apps. I mean, okay, my mind is blown.
Yeah, and that's really, like I said before, that's why I bought it, is because the because of what they're planning to do with it. Like I said, it's got some quirks right now. I think none of it that I can see is hardware issues. I think there's just some odd firmware bugs that I'm waiting for them to fix, but I have no doubt they will fix them. It really is quite an impressive little device. It does cost more than the Victor Stream. I don't remember what the Victor Stream price is. It $550.
The price did go up for the new version. That's for sure. And are you talking Canadian? Because of course that's another thing.
No, the prices that I'm seeing are American because we don't have the Stream. I don't think they released it in Canada yet. They released it in the US first. So this, I believe, is $650 American if you want the non-OCR version, and then it's $750 or $795, something like that, if you want the OCR version. I did not buy the OCR version.
I was going to ask you that. Yeah, did you go down that route?
I just couldn't justify it. I do OCR. I do everything on my phone with OCR. So I couldn't really justify the extra cost of it. So
you've got it there.
I do.
Can you turn it on for us and let's hear it?
I absolutely can.
Global options.
Hang on a sec.
File manager.
Okay, are you hearing that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Nice voice. Okay.
Yeah, so this is, right now it's using Vocalizer Ava, and so I should say that it does allow you to install pretty much the whole range of Vocalizer voices. So it came with Samantha, but then you can just, once you've got it hooked up to your Wi-Fi, you can go under, in the menu, there's something called Voice Installer, and you can go in there and pick whatever voices you want. So that's Ava that I'm running right now.
I was thinking it was Ava, but I thought, I don't want to say that because I'll look like an idiot if it's not.
Yeah, right.
It did sound a bit like Ava, and I thought, surely that's not Ava running on that. That's brilliant. I didn't realize that Vocalizer voices on there. Yeah. And like you say, you've got even more options than that as a result of having Vocalizer, so that's brilliant. And in terms of, okay, so let's go through the, I know everyone wants to hear a full demo of this whole thing, and we'll obviously ask you to do as much as you can with this, but you know, talk us through the sort of menu structure and how you navigate around this thing if you can.
Sure. So maybe what I'll do, do we have time to just give a quick description of the player?
Of course, yeah.
That might be helpful. So it's about the size, let's see if I compare it to, I've got an iPhone 12 Pro. So if I compare it to that, I don't know, maybe two-thirds the size, something like that, of my phone. So on the very top of the unit, on the front face, is one of the speakers. Below that, you've got four buttons that are used for, the first one is a button to flip between applications. Second one is Wi-Fi. Third one is Bluetooth. Fourth one is Smart Connect. Below that, you've got your directional pad, so up, down, left, right arrows with a round button in the center, which is your OK button. Surrounding that, directional keys, you've got a cancel key. Sorry, you've got a home key on the upper left, which just goes back to your main menu. You've got a menu key on your upper right. Lower left is cancel, and lower right is delete. So if you're deleting, entries. And then below that, you've got your keypad. So your standard telephone keypad with a dot on the 5. And that's the front face. Left side, you've got buttons for recording, and then volume up, down, plus a button that will cycle between your volume, speed, pitch, settings like that. Right side is a power on off, and then a lock switch. Also on the left side, you've got a micro SD slot. So it does take micro SD cards. They say in the documentation, it'll take anything up to a 256 gig card. And it's also got 40 gigs ish of internal storage. So you actually don't even need an SD card if you don't want one. You can store a lot of stuff, in the unit itself.
Yeah, that's pretty decent.
It is, and it does connect with USB-C.
Oh, that's good.
So on the bottom, there's a USB-C port and headphone jack. And I also should say it does have a removable battery, because I know one of the things that people aren't liking necessarily about the Stream, some aren't, is the fact the battery is integrated, and this battery is removable.
Oh, that's interesting. Now, that USB-C, is that for charging and data if you wanted to connect it to a computer?
Yes, and also for accessories, as I understand it, that's coming. I don't have any USB accessories right now.
Oh, I love accessories.
Yeah, but I think you can plug in like a USB mic, for example, and use like an external mic.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to end up having to buy one of these now. This is just terrible, Jason. I'm going to have to spend money on this now. You're selling it to me. Right, okay. And in terms of the feel, because I've said this a few times on the show, but every time I've picked up a HIMS product, there's a quality to it that I just always get, a feeling of quality. Are you getting that from this?
It's solid. My one complaint, and I had this same complaint about the BookSense as well, it's very slippery. So if you put it on a table, I'm always afraid that it's going to fly off. What I've known some people to do, I guess there's some adhesive silicone that you can buy that you can cut to size and then like just stick it on the back of the battery cover just to, you know, give it a little bit more grip. There is a case, or there will be a case, as I understand it, from Executive Products. They don't have one yet, but I'll buy a case when there is one. But as of right now, there's not, and it doesn't come with one either.
Okay, that's interesting. All right, yeah. I did read about one. It's an accessory to a point, but you can actually buy with the SensePlayer OCR. You can also get a stand as well, which is kind of cool.
Okay.
I didn't really understand what that meant, but my understanding is that it kind of puts it in a position where you could put something like a book under it, and then you could navigate, you know, through, you'd scan the book and use that. So that's one accessory. But yes, more accessories are good, and a case would make a lot of sense if it's quite a slippery device.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so you've got that's the layout of it. That's how it looks and feels. Let's talk about the actual navigation and operation of it.
Sure. So I'm in the main menu right now. I should be.
Media player.
Yeah.
File manager.
Okay, so file manager is at the top. I'm just going to arrow down.
Media player. Daisy player. Document reader. FM radio. Web radio. Podcasts. Library services come down. Utilities come down. Settings come down. File manager.
Okay, we're back around to file manager. So those are the main items of the main menu. If I had the OCR version, OCR would be in there. But because I don't, that's why you don't see it there.
And it's quite snappy as well.
It is. And actually, so by default, it has a little, and the stream does this too, and it's one of the first things I turn off, is there's a little click when you press a key before it speaks. And I usually turn that off because it does speed things up a little bit. If it doesn't, if it doesn't have to click for each key, I find it speeds things up just a little bit. But no, it is quite snappy. So let's see. So I can, so each of these functions, I can just arrow to it. If you know the number of the thing you want, you can just type the number on the keypad to get to it.
Oh, that's good.
It does have a key describer, so you can, if you hold down the center, the OK key, it does go into a key describer where, when you press keys, it tells you what they do, which is useful.
Okay.
Let's see. So what would be helpful to show? We can do media player. I can show some of the Smart Connect stuff.
I definitely want to know about the Smart Connect, but I'd like to hear it read a book or kind of get a sense of what it sounds like through the speaker. Yeah. I know it's always hard to tell on the radio, right? But
it is, but we can try. We'll give it a shot. So let me go. I'm going to go into.
Are you impressed by the audio?
I am. It actually is quite good. I tend to use headphones with it most, but the audio really is quite good.
Okay.
So I'm going to go into. Let's do Daisy Player because I've got some stuff from CNIB Library on here. Our Sila. It doesn't support NLS yet. And actually, if you go onto their website and pre-order one, you actually have to acknowledge that you won't yell at them if you get it and it doesn't support NLS.
That'd be a great tick box. Please don't shout at us. You will not shout at us if you buy this. Tick box. Unticked. Yeah.
it's essentially what it says. It's, I have, when I bought it, they didn't have that. there yet. So I actually had to send them an email and say, I'm okay that it doesn't have NLS.
I'm sending an email not to shout at you.
Right, exactly. So NLS is coming, I guess, in the summer is what they're saying. It'll just be a firmware update. So, all right. So let's go into Daisy Player.
Media Player. Daisy Player. Daisy Player. Midnight.
That's just the name of the book. It's loading.
Still circling through moonlight gold, seeking Shattuck. Loman saw two regressives sprint across the street. He was on Paddock Lane at the southern end of town.
And of course, it all depends on the quality of the book as well, right?
So yeah.
That's the other side of the coin with that. I mean, again, you're probably, I don't know. I quite like using my Victor Reader for books just from the speaker. It's not the best speaker in the world, but it's just reading. So it's not like I'm listening to music. I wouldn't obviously sit and listen to music on it. It's not that kind of speaker, but.
Yeah, no, I would say for audiobooks, it's actually really good.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, I don't think I'd be listening to music on it necessarily, although you certainly can. It's because it supports a zillion different file formats. But no, for reading books, I'd be perfectly happy using the internal speakers. And you can adjust. What's one thing that's kind of neat is you can adjust app volume independently of the speech volume. So you can have the book volume quieter than the speech, or the book louder than the speech, however you want to do it. You can adjust that.
Okay, so let's talk about Sense Connect, because this is interesting. I want to see how that works.
Sure. So
Smart Connect.
So you're choosing Smart Connect on the Sense player.
Yeah.
And JF iPhone is connected.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So it just takes a second. Now, this I do have it set to transfer audio, so we should now.
That
one sound. There we go.
And that's coming through your Sense player. So that's the voiceover speaking from your Sense player.
Correct. So let me.
Volume. Main volume. Volume.
I'm just turning up the volume a bit.
Title sound. Shortcuts. Freeform. Sonos. Food folder. Four apps. Castro.
So as I'm moving through, I'm just hitting the right arrow, and it's cycling through my phone. If I want to look at items on the rotor, so actually I'm going to slow this down a bit. So if I hit the pound key,
rail screen input, portrait, words, speaking rate 68%,
and then I'm going to press the down arrow,
63%, 58%, 53%.
There we go. So that was just adjusting the – so I turned the rotor to speaking rate, and then I was able to hit the down arrow.
How many people struggle with the rotor, right?
I know, right?
This is where this would be brilliant for people who would struggle with that. Because, I mean, there you go. You've got access to a rotor button.
Yep. It's just star turns it left and hash turns it right.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's it.
So, all right. So let's go – let's go, for example, into – let's go to my phone app.
Office folder, doc, phone, one new item.
Okay, I just cheated there. I went to it on my, I just touched it on my on my touch screen. But.
Selected, phone, all, button, okay. One of two.
I'm going to go to keypad. Tab bar.
Contact keypad, tab, four of five.
Okay, so now that I'm in keypad, I'm going to press the menu key on the Sense player, which should cycle me between the different input modes.
Web browsing mode. Text input mode.
So text input mode. Now I'm going to press pound, which will cycle between the different text modes. So
symbols, numbers, uppercase letters, lowercase letters, symbols, numbers.
So now I'm on numbers. In theory, this should work. So I'm just going to do
4, 4, 1, 6.
See, so as I'm typing in the numbers, it's actually keying them to my phone. I don't know if you can hear the touch tones there.
But
so I mean that's essentially how that works. And so if I were to make a call now, like what happens right now is if I were to make a call, it actually I don't get audio from anywhere. So I lose audio from the phone and I lose audio from the Sense player.
Oh,
so. What I've done when I've wanted to use phone is I just turn off the routing of the audio to the Sense player. Like I said, it's probably a bug. I just, you know, set it so that the audio comes out of my phone, and then I, you know, everything works as it should.
Now, you mentioned as well this new layer, essentially, which is coming soon. I mean, you know, with the ability there to connect to your device, to be able to navigate through your iPhone, you could do anything there, right? You could go into Netflix, you could watch a show on there, you could, you know, check your emails, you could potentially, if you wanted to, send a text with that T9 keyboard if you wanted to, but you've got options. What does this new functionality that they're talking about, bringing over this screen reader that's in the Braille Sense 6, what does that actually add?
So if what it will do, and again, you know, we don't have this yet, so I can't speak to it, you know, super, you know, intelligibly, but what it will do is it's essentially going to let you load Android apps onto the phone. So right now, if I want to watch Netflix, right, I have to pair it to my phone, and then I have to bring up Netflix on the phone and you know, start up the show or whatever. This would actually let you put the Android Netflix app on the phone, sorry, on the Sense player, and then access it directly. Right. So you don't have to pair it to your phone. It's just right there. So you would go into the app on the Sense player and then just browse around and find the show you want to watch and hit play and off you go. So you could, you know, you don't have to be connected to your phone necessarily.
And how do you feel about that? Because, I mean, I guess it's another option, right? I mean, you've got your phone sitting there anyway, but I guess the benefit is it just makes it a little bit easier to navigate because you're using the app interface.
It does. And I mean, we'll see how they do it. Like I'm thinking of apps like Audible, for example, because this device doesn't have native Audible support. And I don't know if they're going to add it. Like, they might just assume, you know, you load the Audible app and then you can just do whatever you want. I think from what I heard from them is it's not going to be connected to the Google Play Store. So you will have to, I think what they're possibly planning to do is give you kind of a curated list of Android apps that maybe work well that you can download from the HIMS website. I don't know for sure. But I suspect that's what they might do.
And that gets them around. I mean, you say Audible, but of course that gets them around the Audible problem.
Right. Right.
But this is only going to work at home, or if you use, say, a personal hotspot on the move, right? Because it doesn't have 4G capability in it, does it?
It doesn't. So, so you could, you know, wherever you have access to Wi-Fi or with, you know, with Audible, just as an example, Audible lets you download books, right? Like, you don't have to stream them. You can download them to the device. And
yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
Because the device has, you know, 40 gigs of memory in it, you know, you can hold quite a bit in there.
So, in summary, are you happy with your purchase?
I am. Like I said, I'm. There's some firmware issues that I'm a little frustrated with right now, but it's one of those things where I fully expect them to fix them. Just as an example, there's an issue in that I'm finding in Daisy Playback, where when you try to skip by time, a lot of times it just doesn't work. Like, you'll skip by time and it'll go to the beginning of the chapter. The other thing that I've seen is where you will, let's say you're playing an MP, like an audiobook that's a bunch of MP3s, which I have a lot of. It doesn't, jumping by time doesn't take into account file boundaries. So if you've got a file that's, you know, chapters that are 5 minutes long and you want to jump 30 minutes forward in the book, it won't work because it's only going on a per file basis.
Yeah.
So again, this is all stuff that, you know, I know they know about, and I fully expect them to fix it. But I think, you know, we're early days. This is version one of the product, and I didn't buy it expecting it to be perfect. You know, it's just, so yeah, and I'm very happy with it.
Well, listen, it's been really interesting having you on, Jason. Thank you for taking the time. I know you got reached out on email, and I really appreciate that, to come on and tell us all about this, because a lot of people, you know, they don't get the chance to get hands on with these things before they buy. And so just getting a user perspective, you know, the company, we really want to get HIMS on the show to talk about this and talk about this product and its roadmap. But, you know, essentially people always end up feeling like they're being sold something, whereas, you know, you're coming on here with an honest view. And right. I think that's going to really help a lot of people make their decisions. I must admit, I'm intrigued by this. I am really intrigued by this device. This is one where I think I'd be interested in. And if it's a fight between this and the Victor Reader, I don't know. I think this is looking like a winner at the moment. But I haven't had my hands on the third gen yet, so I don't know.
Yeah, and I think so too. There's something about the Victor interface that I've never really, I don't know. For example, when I'm navigating through files on this, I'm actually navigating through files and folders, like up and down arrow through, through folders, and you can press the right arrow to go into a folder. It looks and acts very much like I'm used to on a, Windows or Mac or whatever.
Yeah.
And I've always found the Victor interface to be a little clunky for me. But that's just a personal, that's just personal opinion, but, no, I'm really happy with it. And I think you can get this in the UK now. I think I can't remember who sells it, but I believe they are available in the UK now.
Yeah, you're right. You can. It's not out, I don't think, until the end of the month, or at least they're not shipping till then, but you can get it from Sight and Sound Technology in the UK. Mm-hmm. But yeah, really interesting product. And, yeah, it's funny because, I mean, there have been, as you say, these products out before, similar products out before, but HIMSS isn't really a company, especially in the UK, it hasn't been a company that I think a lot of people have talked about as much. Whereas now with this, people are really talking about HIMSS. I think most people have always seen it as the product, the place where you get really high-end Braille displays.
Yeah, Braille displays, note takers, yeah. Stuff like that, yeah.
You know, this is maybe a newer area for them, even though they've had versions like we say before. The OCR one does appeal to me, I have to say. I think that appeals. But again, it's just, if nothing else, just to try it, I'd like to know how it behaves, how it performs compared to my smartphone, because, the smartphone is the Swiss Army knife and it does everything. But this thing, having it in your pocket, and it's always the same. When you need to do something in a hurry, the smartphone's not the best for that because you're flailing around sometimes trying to get an app open to do what you want to do. And good luck getting Siri to open an app properly.
Yeah, exactly. The reason I bought these players is if I'm laying in bed and half asleep, I want buttons, right?
Yes.
I don't want to unlock my phone and I swipe around. I'm perfectly capable of doing it, but just having an interface like this with just, I can just hit the button to stop it, which is really useful. I think this is a great product.
Jason, thank you so much for coming on.
No problem.
And don't forget to send us your feedback if you want to comment on what you've heard today on the show, especially if you want to comment on the HIMSS Sense Player. Maybe you've bought one as well and you want to share your experience. We'd love to hear about it. Give us a call. 1-877-803-4567 is our number to call. You can leave us a voicemail or you can email us feedback@doubletaponair.com. We'll be back tomorrow for the weekend edition and we'll join you then. Sean is back with us. We're talking all about keyboards. That's on tomorrow's show.
Love Double Tap? Did you know we're on the TV too? Check out brand new episodes of Double Tap TV on AMI TV every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Or binge on all episodes online at ami.ca/Double Tap. We're also on YouTube. Search for Double Tap to catch our episodes there too.
Hello, I'm Sean Preece. Join me monthly for Sean of the Shed, where I introduce you to all the technology that can be so useful to us as blind or partially sighted people. Find Sean of the Shed wherever you find all your podcasts.